And as we all live together, we and serve the Lord together, appreciated the thought this morning in the devotional, I believe, that our brother John said that our faith is expressed, it's worked out in our everyday lives. And it was that way in the Old Testament, it's that way in the New Testament. And as God looks down upon our work and our congregations and our church life and our church outreach and our, and then most particularly our individual lives, what does he think? What are his thoughts? As we gather together here this morning and as we worship together, did the aroma that went up from this place, was it sweet to God? When something is sweet to us, when something smells sweet, it brings us pleasant thoughts, doesn't it? And that's how it is to God. Was our worship acceptable to him today? I'd like to think this morning about the thoughts of God. You may open your Bibles to Psalm 139. I like to think about thoughts and we'll think a little bit this morning about our thoughts. But more particularly, we'd like to think about God's thoughts and what are God's thoughts and what are God's thoughts to you? What are they to me? How does he think about us? In Psalm 139, I like to read these verses. This is a Psalm of David. He says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. And maybe I should say this, that we recognize this passage as this thought of O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. And this is a familiar passage. Verse 23 and 24 are familiar verses. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So that's the passage that we're looking at. And so as we read these verses, I want you to think about how God's thoughts enter into this. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. And if I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee. But the night shineth as the day, the darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou coverest me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in the secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, whether as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men, for they speak against thee wickedly. and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred, I count them mine enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Now, as David penned these words, and as he penned the thoughts of his heart and the meditations of his heart, and his contemplation of how God feels and how God thinks and how God responds in his own mind when he looks down on the earth and looks down on David's life. Now there are a number of aspects in these verses. In verse 1 and 2, Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. So David realized that and recognized that God understands what he's thinking a long way off. Maybe you think about a problem you faced yesterday. Whatever that may have been, God knew that problem, and he also knew your thoughts that would surround your mind and would go through your mind as you contemplated that problem and as you figured out how you were going to work through it. And as you maybe started in your own mind to blame someone else for the problem that you were facing, God knows your thoughts afar off. And he says that there's not a word in my tongue, but lo, Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Verse 3, thou compassest my path. He says, God, I know that you surround me. And having thought about this realization, David came to verse 17 and said, Lord, how precious are your thoughts to me. He was saying, God, I know that you have thoughts about my situation. You have thoughts about this earth, and you have thoughts about our people, and you have thoughts about what is happening here, and you have thoughts about me. And David said, they're precious to me. They're precious. Now, when we live a life that is on edge, and we live a life that is not in harmony and at rest, like we looked at in our Sunday school lesson, we live a life that's not at rest with God, then the thought that, or the aspect of God's thoughts bring trepidation to us, don't they? But David came to verse 17 and said, Lord, as I think about you, how precious are your thoughts to me. I'm glad you think about me. I'm glad you care about me. And I want your thoughts that you think toward me, I want them to be good thoughts. I want my life to be a life that can bring good thoughts to your mind. How great is the sum of them. When I was in school, and maybe didn't always appreciate my teacher like I should have, and I lived and I acted on the edge or across the edge of what he expected good behavior to be. I always hoped that the teacher didn't spend a lot of time thinking about me, because that would make me uncomfortable. You see, David here is helping us to see that if we want God's thoughts to be good toward us and sweet and precious, then we need to live a life. Then our life needs to be that of blessing to him. Our thoughts that we think are basically private, they're basically, like this morning, I can tell a little bit maybe what you're thinking. I see some of you nodding your head as I'm talking. I see some of you smiling. I see some. But to a greater or lesser degree, I don't know your thoughts. Okay? I can't really tell what you're thinking. Sometimes when a speaker is up front and people start grinning or chuckling a little, all of a sudden the speaker gets really uncomfortable because he doesn't know what they're thinking. And they're expressing something that makes him feel like maybe he's doing something wrong, or he said something wrong, or... So we can't see into each other's minds, and we can't necessarily... We don't know what each other are thinking. Sometimes our thoughts give expression through body language, but for the most part, our thoughts are rather private. And there's that aspect that since we believe that other people don't know what we're thinking, we have this idea that we can think whatever we want to. And that our thoughts are sort of our own, and that it's our own right that we have to think about whatever we want. But God knows our thoughts. And sometimes others do as well. Did someone ever ask you, so what are you thinking? And you were sort of jolted and, huh, what? You know, we become self-conscious because there was something about our expression that person knew that we were deep in thought, and we weren't really, our thoughts were somewhere else. They weren't with what the others were talking about or doing. And it makes us feel uncomfortable because we start becoming just a bit afraid that others were able to see or understand our thoughts. Our thoughts many times ramble on, and we chide ourselves for letting our minds think incorrect things or go places where they shouldn't. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 5 says, "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Now, let me just go on to my next thought and then come back to that again. But we think many, many thoughts in a day's time. It's estimated that we have between 50 and 75,000 thoughts a day. And if you take an average day of your hours that you're awake, if you take 18 hours, there are 64,800 seconds in that 18-hour period. And so, for easy figuring, we could say that we have a thought a second through our waking hours. And the seconds, they just keep going. And that means that you have a thought, and an average day you have a thought per second. And so your mind is just going from one thing to the next. Those thoughts could be connected connected together, but maybe around 64, 65,000 thoughts in a day. And there's all these thoughts that go through our minds. And I want us to remember and be challenged today that our thoughts, we have the capability and we have the responsibility as Christians to bring into captivity every one of those thoughts, 65,000 a day. We need to bring them into captivity. That means that when a thought comes into your mind, you are in charge of that thought. And you either put it in the bucket that needs to be ejected. It's like a CD player, and you hit the eject button, and you say, "I'm not going to think about that anymore." And we do this subconsciously. Or it's like sliding a CD into the player and saying, "I'm going to think about that some more." That's a good thought. That brings pleasant memories and that brings pleasant feelings. And sometimes people keep playing those thoughts. Instead of hitting the eject button, they play bad thoughts and wrong thoughts. And so, we need to bring into captivity every thought. Thoughts either need ejected from the player of our mind, or we allow them to develop into meditations and to contemplations and further consideration. And so our mind is divided between the conscious and the subconscious. Our subconscious allows for multiple processes to be happening simultaneously. And as you go through your day, you're able to see what impact the good thoughts had on your day and what impact wrong thoughts have on your day. Philippians 4 says that we need to think on these things. And so our thoughts mold and shape our day's activities and eventually mold and shape our lives. Our thoughts and the deliberations of our mind yield actions. And Proverbs 23 and verse 7 says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." And it's a statement, it's a truth that is just very foundational. Now, thinking about our thoughts, does God have thoughts? Our text verse indicates that he does. "How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God." Thinking a little bit about comparing God's thoughts with man's thoughts, we focus on one thought at a time. Now, I said earlier that we can have, in our subconscious, we can have more than one thing going on in our mind at the same time, but there's some subconscious things that happen, and I'm not going to go into talk about that. But basically, we focus on one thought at a time. God is able to know everyone's thoughts. And all the people that are in the world, and just the people, just this group that's gathered here in this auditorium, in this assembly. You know, I'd like to think, or we'd like to think, that everyone's thoughts are with the speaker at the moment. But this thought per second is still happening in our minds. We are thinking about something. And God is able to know our thoughts all the time. Each second, each thought, during the duration of this message, God knows our thoughts here as a group. He knows what's going through our minds. Secondly, we deliberate and process to make sure we're thinking clearly. Times men are endeavoring to think through something, and we want to make sure we're thinking clearly. When I was asked this morning if revivals at the end of this week start at 7:30, I nodded my head, but in reality, I'm not exactly sure, okay? I did this last year, too, and I think I had it wrong at Sunday morning, if I remember right. So I need to check that out. And so we deliberate, and we process, and we think through, because we want to make sure we're thinking clearly. But God's thoughts are always perfect. He never needs to go back and think through something again. His thoughts are perfect. His deliberations need no further fine-tuning. Romans 11 and verse 34, "For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor?" Our thoughts tend to flow with what we see and feel. And we find it difficult to focus on the less obvious. And then thirdly, Isaiah 55 and verse 8, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Now, I'd like to look at just a few points yet. I believe there's about 5 points in relation to God's thoughts toward us. First of all, God's thoughts are precious. God's thoughts are precious to us. The God of the universe, our Creator, the one who made the stars and the moon and the galaxies, cares about each one of us this morning. He knows our thoughts. If you do a little bit of study and research on the worlds that are beyond and the vastness of space and the galaxies that are out there, as man studies more and more, he finds more and more galaxies. It's just mind-boggling. Some time ago, I did a little study on that. And the light years, the distance between, I don't know if there's any end to what God has created out there. The stars and the galaxies may just continue on and on and on. I don't know where they stop. God's power is limitless. But he made all that. He made these enormous bodies, heavenly bodies, that are light years apart. And yet God knows my thoughts. He knows your thoughts right now. And he cares about your thoughts. Because he knows that your thoughts define who you are. Your thoughts are an expression of who you are. And your thoughts define who you would like to be and define your love for him. God's thoughts are precious. How he thinks about us is precious to us. 1 Peter 5 and verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Sometimes in our rambling thoughts, we lose focus on life, don't we? Or we lose focus on the moment. There's going to be teachers here in the next couple of weeks that will sit in their classes and they will stand in front of their classes and they will teach. And I can predict to you that there will be times that the teacher is going to look at someone and he's going to think to himself, I don't think they're with me. Their thoughts are back in Pennsylvania. It's just the way we are. Our rambling thoughts so often just take us away from the moment. But God is not that way. He cares. He knows. His focus can be on all of us individually, all at the same time. And he knows our thoughts. And he cares about our troubled thoughts. And he cares about our sad thoughts. And he cares about the troubles of our own lives. Psalm 103 and verse 14, for he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. He knows. He doesn't even temporarily forget our human limitations. He remembers the effect of aging. He knows the things that wear down on mothers. And he knows the cares of fathers. But in all that God needs to keep track of, it's precious to us this morning to know that God knows our thoughts and he cares about our thoughts. The songwriter said, thou thinkest, Lord, of me. And this truth this morning will only be precious to those who find comfort in knowing that God knows them and in knowing that God cares about them. And when our thoughts and our actions are not godly, then what should be precious to us makes us uncomfortable. Secondly, God's thoughts bring security. The psalmist said in the end of verse 17, the last phrase says, how great is the sum of them? How great is the sum of them? How did David know that God had lots of thoughts about him and his life? How could David know that that God had a lot of thoughts about him? Psalm 40 and verse 5 says, many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. And David understood that God, in a right relationship with God, God had thoughts toward him. He had many thoughts, and that brought security to him. That brought security to David. brings security to a husband and a wife relationship when maybe the husband calls his wife during the day and just says, "How's it going? I was just thinking about you." Or sends a text message. Or does something that lets her know that during the day he's thinking about me and caring about me. And that brings security. It brings that confidence. It brings a rest to her thoughts and her life and her day. And so God thinking about mankind brings a security to us. When something or someone is on your mind frequently, you don't forget. You don't forget about their needs. You don't forget about who they are. You don't forget about how you can help their day. God knows all about us. And he never forgets or gets distracted with other cares of life. Thirdly, God's thoughts are perfect in action. The ideas and thoughts that we conceive and perceive usually need much pondering and consideration. Before we are settled that we've come to the best conclusion. And sometimes our thoughts need to be, you know, we run them, our ideas by our wife. And we say, you know, what do you think of this? And maybe it's another brother at church. What do you think about this? Or what if I would get involved in this business venture? And you might, I recently, some time ago, talked to a man who entered into a business venture that didn't work out so well. But he told me, he said, "I don't know what else I should have done." He said, I had the bank involved. He said, "I had some Anabaptist-based financial counselors involved. I think there was another one yet. There were about three confidential people and organizations that gave him the green light to go ahead. And it didn't work out. It didn't work out." And he said, "I don't know what else I should have done." He said, "I thought I had this thought through. I thought I was careful in what I did." Well, he was. But you know, that's the way our thoughts are. They don't always, we can't see the end from the beginning. Sometimes it requires sharing with others and allowing their influence into our thinking. But God's thoughts are perfect. And therefore, his thoughts are as good as his perfect actions. His thoughts could be turned into action immediately, and they're perfect. His ways are perfect. And God's thoughts are perfect in action. They're perfect in origin. They're perfect in... His thoughts are always perfect. They never need any fine-tuning. They never need any... In the times in the story of the Bible, the story of the children of Israel especially, where God, as it were, changed the course of direction that he was taking. Maybe think back to the time of the flood. Did God change his mind? Did it? It says that he repented that he had made man. He told that to Noah. Did God need to repent? Was he wrong in what he was doing? No. But he was sorry about the condition of man. And man is the one that walked away from God. Man is the one who chose to turn their back on God. But God was perfect in his action. He was perfect in his thoughts. Jeremiah 23 and verse 20, "The anger of the Lord shall not return until he have executed... Until he have performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days, ye shall consider it perfectly." God's thoughts need no one else's influence. Fourthly, God's thoughts are deep. Now, sometimes we talk about people that think deeply. And I like to visit with people that think deep, as long as it's not too deep, you know, or I can't keep up with them. But I like to visit with people. I like to hear people talk that think beyond the obvious and think beyond the latest whim, but they think they see the product of what may be happening at the moment. Or they think about the root causes of what's happening at the moment. And they think, they're able to think through issues. And we walk away and say, my, they are deep thinkers. I heard a devotional meditation by a brother a number of years ago. I remember at a conference meeting where he had a devotional on the grace of God. And it was just, my, those were just deep thoughts. Deep thoughts. Psalm 92 and verse 5 says, O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. The psalmist realized, David realized and understood that God's thoughts were deep. God cared deeply. God thinks deeply. And that brought a rest and a trust to him. In Psalm 94 and verse 11, we have this verse. The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. That doesn't say much for you and I, does it? God knows our thoughts, and he knows that our thoughts are basically vain. Our tendency is to have thoughts. Our tendency is that our mind runs in tracks that are oftentimes just pretty empty. Let me ask you the question, when we think about ourselves, is that vanity? You say, well, you know, we need to care about ourselves, we need to care for ourselves, we need to care for the things that we're responsible for. But you know, when we go through our day and our minds really haven't gotten away from ourselves and our own little world, it's vanity. We need to think beyond ourselves, and we need to think beyond our own world. Beyond our own families. Think about the cares and the needs of others. Think about God and who he is and our smallness before him. But God's thoughts are very deep, and he's able to understand our feelings, and he's able to understand our world and the cares of our own life. Number five, last of all, God's thoughts are turned toward his children. Today, you and I think about the issues and the people that are important to our lives. We think about those that we care for. Maybe men can relate to this illustration, but did you ever go away with your wife for a couple days? I'm thinking about families with children. For whatever reason took you away, and men are able to detach themselves a bit from their world and go away, and they want to have just a little time of relaxation. But you're not very far down the road where you realize that your wife's mind is still back at home with her children or wherever they're staying. You're away, maybe you need to travel away a couple days for a funeral, but you end up being by yourselves, the children are at home. And really the whole time, her mind is back there at home with the children. She's wondering how they are, and concerned with whether they're sick and are they healthy and how it's going. And our thoughts primarily stay with that which we find important in our lives. And maybe the sisters can relate to men whose minds are not at home when they're there. They're still at work. And they're in another world. They're not really with the family. They're not really at the supper table. They're still somewhere else. And we really need to work at that, at keeping our minds on things that are important or the most important. God's thoughts are turned toward us today because he cares about us. And because he loves us, and because he wants our best, and he wants us to understand who he is. Jeremiah 29 and verse 11, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. And so God has a plan, he has a purpose. And God says that I know the thoughts that I think toward you. God's mind does not wander into places. He does not have to turn around and say, repent and say, I had bad thoughts toward you. I'm sorry about that. God says, I know the thoughts that I have. And I care about you. And I want I want those thoughts to be thoughts of peace, because I have a predicted end for you. I have a goal in mind. I have something that I want you to do in this life. And I want the best for you so that you can carry out my work in the best possible way. God not only has thoughts toward us, but he also enables us to do what he calls us to. And it's all about his work and his kingdom. And so this morning, God is an everlasting God, and he is a God that will never change. We could have looked this morning at how we change our minds. Wise people change their minds at times, but God never needs to change. He is unchangeable. He is eternal. And his thoughts toward us, how do we feel about them? How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. How great is the sum of them. May God help us to think about the thoughts of our own minds, being aware of our responsibility, and think about and welcome God's thoughts in our lives. We don't always know what each other are thinking. And when someone is over us in authority, we sometimes would like to know what they're thinking about us, and we don't necessarily. But this morning, God is sovereign. He's our creator. He is over us, but we can know his thoughts. And if our life is in tune with him, then we know, we have confidence that his thoughts are pleasant. And if our lives are walking away from him or not living within his will, then we can know this morning that he has troubled thoughts about us. But we have an expected end, and he wants to help us to that point. May God help all of us, and may God bless us as we